Hare Krishna. My savior mothers have appeared before me.
Hare Krishna.
I'm very sorry to be late, but between Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu and myself, we had our first meeting after long time of separation. So when the two of us come together, some naughtiness is expected.
Very well.
And Rishabh Prabhu, I'm so happy to see you. Does everyone know Rishabh Prabhu? He's the senior most Columbus devotee in the world today. He joined our movement in 1968 when Srila Prabhupada came to Columbus. For those of you who were here during my first evening's discussion, we explained Prabhupada's first coming in 68 on 8th Avenue near Summit Street. Was the first Hare Krishna temple in Columbus, established by Hayagriva Prabhu. And it was there that Rishabhdev Prabhu first gave his heart to Krishna. Besides being a very senior devotee, he's an excellent cook. And I would like to thank all of you for coming this evening. I believe you would like me to answer questions tonight. I already spoke. If there is any questions, we can try to answer. Yes, Dolayatra Devi. Did everyone hear the question? No one heard your question. Acha, dear Lalita always has the most practical solutions to our problems. Speak directly in the microphone, please.
So, many devotees who go to school or work outside of the temple, some devotees, it's hard for them to follow all the sadhana bhakti practices, like chanting or the rounds or reading Srila Prabhupada's books or coming to programs, etc. So I wanted to ask you if you can give any advice about that, or anything you can say about that.
Advice. I will give advice to the people who are in that predicament and to the people who are observing those in that predicament. We will begin with the latter. Judge not, lest ye be judged. We should try to see the good in all devotees. We should try to appreciate the struggles the devotees are enduring in their lives as well as in their spiritual lives. And we should try to encourage such devotees by being very good examples and trying to make the temple and our association just so nice and so wonderful that they are ever more attracted. And advice to those who are in that predicament, where there's a will, there's a way. We must make our priorities in life. Certainly it is a struggle. We should try our best. But honestly, we should try our best. Because Maya's trick is to give us many reasons to justify slacking off in our spirituality. So many priorities, so little time. But if we really have faith in the process of bhakti, and we take seriously how valuable every moment of human life really is, and if we really have a golden life that we want to strive for, then somehow or other we will make time. Somehow or other. And we should be sincerely struggling and striving to do that. And if we are, Krishna will be pleased. Yes? What if you had a baby? You don't have a baby, but what if you had a baby? And you had your school, and you had your work. Would you neglect your baby and allow it to starve? It's crying for your help, and you just say, I don't have time to feed you. Huh? Why would you not neglect it? Because it's alive. And it has importance in your life. Yes? Somehow or other, you would make the time. So Krishna is our eternal supreme lover. All of our goals in life will only be fulfilled when we experience Krishna's love and when we experience the soul's love for Krishna. Without that, life is empty. Life is virtually meaningless without bhakti. Yes? So if we understand the importance of that aspect of our life, then we'll somehow or other make time. We'll honestly, earnestly try our best. So that is all. Just honestly, earnestly try your very best. And make your bhakti, make your Krishna consciousness a priority. The priority. Somehow or other, once you have that adjustment in your mind, then you'll always be planning how to harmonize everything else in such a way so that that doesn't interfere with your spiritual life, but it facilitates your spiritual life. Essentially, our studies, our occupation, our family life, everything is meant to facilitate our spiritual life, not to replace our spiritual life. Materialism means that these domestic matters replace our spiritual life. But Krishna consciousness, or bhakti, means that all of these different aspects of life, we perform our responsibilities to our family, to our school, to our occupation, very, very properly. But the goal is all of these things facilitate our going back home, back to Godhead. So if we understand it in that perspective, you'll be amazed at how God will help you to find the means and the ways to resolve this problem. So much has to do with our perception. When our perceptions are right, when our vision is right, when our values are right, then Krishna empowers our intelligence in wonderful ways to find out solutions that are otherwise inconceivable. Does that make sense? In theory. Krishna will help you. Just try your best. And even if you don't necessarily do everything literally according to the numbers that are expected of you, if you're earnestly and honestly trying, Krishna will be pleased. But actually, Prabhupada, he first gave us 64 rounds, and then 32, and then he said 16, but no less than that. It's not that much. We give how many hours a day to our occupation, and how many hours a day to school. Krishna's just asking 2 hours a day exclusively offered to him. Is that so much? 22 hours we have for everything else. Just 2 hours a day, Krishna's saying. Just exclusively give those 2 hours to my holy name. It's precious. It's the most precious part of life. If we understand it as such, that understanding comes through nice association and nice hearing and making priorities. That is my humble advice to you, Dola Yatra, Devi, and all others in such circumstances. Nothing good in this world is easy. What's the difference between a champion athlete and just an average person who doesn't really make the team? Huh? The difference is a person who somehow or other, no matter how, what else they have to do, they put the time and energy into training. Yes, they just do it. Sometimes they suffer doing it, but they do it. What's the difference between a great scholar and an ordinary student? Of course, it does have to do with karma too, sometimes. That's, oftentimes it's just a matter of a person who really wants it and is willing to make sacrifices to do it. I've told a story. There's a couple stories in medical colleges in Bombay. You've heard the story before, but the more you hear it, perhaps the more you will become enlightened. Two medical students. One was top student, first year, second year, third year, and now it was the fourth year, approaching final exams. He was chanting 16 rounds of Maha Mantra every day. He was a straight-A student, getting top grades for exams. He decided he would chant less rounds. He would chant 4 rounds a day so that he could put more energy into his studies. And there was another student who was average. He was just an average student, never did very well. And he was taking the same test, and he was thinking, I'm going to increase my rounds because I need Krishna's help. So he started chanting 25 rounds a day to prepare for his exams. He was also studying very, very hard. So the student that did 25 rounds got top grade in his class. And the person who did others got an above average grade in his test. This is a true story. It's documented. Because one had faith in Krishna. That ultimately Krishna is the intelligence of the intelligent. According to Gita, we have to help ourselves. We have to study the best we can. But ultimately, we need Krishna's help. So let me take shelter of Krishna. That will make everything more auspicious. It will make everything I do more fulfilling, and it will make everything I do empowered. Now, we'll give you another story. This was also in a medical, JJ Medical College in Bombay. And this student was very, very excellent student. And he was also chanting 16 rounds every day. And he decided to stop chanting for a couple months before exams, just 1 or 2 rounds. And he really, really, really studied like anything. And once a week there's programs there at JJ Hospital. He stopped coming to any spiritual programs because he had to study. So you know what happened? He got the top grade in his studies in the whole class. And he very much attributed it to giving up chanting Hare Krishna and putting all that time into studies. So there was a celebration in the dormitories. Now, just in the same dormitory, there was the Hare Krishna program going on once a week. And there was a party going on in another place. This party was for all the graduates who passed their exams. And because he was the top grades, he was special personality. You like this story. Thank you. Should I continue?
Yes.
So one student, a devotee, who also passed his exam, said, why don't you come to our Krishna Conscious program? You told us after you pass your exams, you'll start coming to programs. He said, I will. He said, I will. But I have to go to this party. After this party, I'll start coming again. He was only about 24 years old. There was music playing, and then everyone was dancing, not kirtan dancing. I don't know what they do in college dancing. And he got a heart attack and fell dead on the floor, in the dance floor.
Hare Krishna.
That was it. 24 years old, fell dead. So how was his being the top grades in his exams helping him at the time of death? Listening to rock and roll music with all kinds of dancing rock and rollers all around him when he died. All the other students who were inclined toward Krishna consciousness, when they saw that happen, they became very serious. Somehow or other, to achieve any great thing in this world takes tapasya. It takes struggle. It takes difficulty. We shouldn't be weak-hearted. It's difficult, I can't do it. So what if it's difficult? If it's difficult, you do it. That's determination. Drita brata. That is the qualification for bhakti. Drita brata. We must be determined. We must toe the line, as they say. We must do the needful, as Prabhupada would say. Somehow. We shouldn't be weak. We shouldn't let Maya just push us around and kick us here and there. We should be determined. I must take shelter of the holy name. I must take shelter of the Vaishnavas. I must take shelter of the Bhagavad. And I'll perform all my other duties with that spiritual empowerment. Hari. It's like Arjuna. He could have told Krishna, I don't have the time to listen to this Gita. I have to fight this war. He took the time to hear Bhagavad Gita. I just got a CD of one Vaishnava from the Madhva Sampradaya who's reciting the whole Bhagavad Gita. It's an 8-hour CD. It's just reciting Gita. Prabhupada's Gita. He's reciting Sanskrit and English. 8 hours. So Arjuna, he understood, yes, I must perform my duty and fight, but in order to do it in the right consciousness, to facilitate the real goal of life, I must take the time to sit here with Krishna and hear from him. So every day we have to go into a battlefield. Our studies, our occupation, just living in the world is like a battle. So take time like Arjuna every morning to be with Krishna by chanting his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
And actually the taste of bhakti comes when we make that painful surrender to do it. That's when we really taste Krishna. We experience the reciprocation of Krishna. When we just go beyond, because it is the expression of our love for God. See it that way. Chanting your rounds is the way you're putting that time aside is the way you're expressing your love for God in your life. And God reciprocates. And with that nourishment, we actually have the power to express our love for God in everything we do. But that foundation is important. Hari, is there any other questions? Vrindavanath Prabhu, what is your opinion of this subject? Microphone. Say it in microphone, please.
It hits home for me. It's very relevant.
Thank you. Sitaram, give her microphone.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your encouragement. I'm very glad that Dolayatra asked this question. It's very similar to what I had in mind.
Are you still roommates?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you very much. Krishna is pleased simply with our sincerity. Is there any other questions? Bhakreshwar Pandit Prabhu, would you like to comment on this subject?
Maharaj, if they've heard me, I beat them up Sundays in the past, so they haven't heard me very clearly on the subject. So,
we were discussing something a little sweet today, and I thought maybe we could share a little bit of that, just in terms of looking forward to our, no, the issue of compassion. We were expanding on that today in terms of others who are struggling, others who are pursuing God, maybe even through other religions, and how the precedence for that deep compassion is to see and serve in that mood and not be so egotistical and judgmental.
We should be strict with ourselves and very forgiving and liberal toward others. Not liberal to ourselves and very strict and unforgiving to others. But to be an instrument of God's compassion is our goal in life. That is the ultimate service we can render in this world. And that is why we are trying to take shelter of the Holy Name, so we can access God's love and share that with others. That is real compassion.
The depth of that compassion as well. We were speaking of Christ and brings Vasudev Dutt and Prahlad Maharaj. How they were willing to, I was thinking about that kind of compassion, that it was so deep that even knowing the condition, the sinful conditions of others, how fallen others were, that they were willing to take the reactions for all of their sins upon themselves, thinking, let me take all the reactions and let everyone else go back to Godhead. I was thinking of that depth of compassion, how to think of how everyone is suffering. We're all suffering because of our lack of our relationship with Krishna, or not knowing about our relationship with Krishna, or knowing and not serving. But for a great devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, he felt that even as sinful as someone can be, the sinful things that are going on in the hearts of others, please, I'll take that on if you can just free them from the reactions and allow them all to go back to Godhead. And I was thinking, how much mercy, how merciful such a Vaishnava is. And that certainly we could try to emulate to some degree this type of compassion for others.
Thank you. Thank you very much. To follow in the footsteps of such souls, to hear about their lives and their ideals, and to hold that ideal as the sacred aspiration of our own lives is the path of perfection. Sukadeva Goswami discussed these great personalities in Bhagavatam. And in every great religion in the world, we find personalities who really sacrificed so much, underwent such immense tribulation for the welfare of others. Why? Why? It is a continuous theme amongst saintly persons. Because sincere people hear about them, identify with them, honor and worship the ideals that they represented, and make their ideals our ideals. And we cannot imitate them, but as you said, we can emulate, we can strive to follow in their footsteps. Mahajano yena gata sapanda. Lord Chaitanya said the path of ultimate perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great souls. And this is what every great soul has done. They've underwent tremendous amount of personal hardships for the welfare of others, to be instruments of God's love to suffering people in this world. And that is why it is so important that we have our sadhana. Because our sadhana connects us to the flow of that love, connects us to the flow of that compassion, connects us to the flow of that mercy. Our sadhana is not, we are not meant to enjoy the fruits of our sadhana. Panchatattva, they came to this world to break open the storehouse of love of God and then to personally taste it and then distribute the contents to everyone. Yes? So the fruits and the merits that we're getting by our reading of the Bhagavatam and the chanting of the holy name is meant to inspire expressing the love, the mercy of God's energy in such a way that we serve, that we please Him. And what pleases Him most? Gita describes that no one is more dear to me than that person who shares this mercy with others, and no one will ever be more dear to me. That is why Lord Narasimhadev, although he performed a very serious surgical operation upon Hiranyakashipu to remove the cancerous tumor of envy from his heart, and he was so angry with the misuse of Hiranyakashipu's life that he was trembling, and even the demigods could not stand near him. But little 5-year-old Prahlad, because he lived in such a spirit of compassion, he was lovingly preaching to his father, even though his father was trying to murder him. Again and again his father tried to murder him. And again Prahlad came and told him, "Dear father, O best of the asuras," he praised him. This is the greatest praise to Hiranyakashipu, "O best of the asuras." He said, "Please, no one can attain real devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without taking the dust of the lotus feet of the great sadhus and smearing his body, abhishekam, bathing his body with that dust. That, my father, you must do." His father was not happy hearing that philosophy. But Prahlad was so compassionate to his classmates, to his teachers, to the people who were coming to kill him. Yes? And even though here Narasimhadev was so very angry, he very comfortably seated Prahlad on his lap. Yes? With great love and affection. Just to show the world the Lord is most pleased with those who are instruments of His compassion. So that is why we chant. That is why we need to chant. Because we want to access the Lord's love and compassion so that we can serve Him by sharing it with the world. Otherwise, if you see starving people and you have no food to give them, then what is the use of your sentiments? If you really care about them, then work hard, make money, get food, and feed them. Yes? That means you care. So if you really care about the spiritual poverty, starvation within the world today, then gain spiritual wealth yourself. Chant the holy names, hear the Bhagavatam, associate nicely, and then share the fruits of the mercy that you're receiving with others. That is compassion. And actually, these devotees, they feel ecstasy even in the pains of torture when they know their ideal is being fulfilled. Because real happiness is the fulfillment of our ideals. Real happiness is of the heart. Yes? There's an old gospel song. "The Jordan River is chilly and cold. It chills the body but warms the soul." You remember that? Yes. You remember also. Very good. Can I get a witness, sis? But this is the universal spiritual principle. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam. That real happiness comes not through whimsical enjoyment of watching television and going to the movies and eating potato chips. Real enjoyment comes through tapasya. Tapo divyam putra kayena satyams. That real happiness comes through tapasya, through enduring hardships for our spiritual welfare and for the spiritual welfare of others. It might be difficult for body and mind, but oh, how deeply fulfilling it is to the heart. Would you like to speak something, Malati Prabhu? Malati Prabhu is an ocean of quotes from Srila Prabhupada.
One devotee was asking a similar question because he felt that, first of all, when he took his vows, he was quite young, and he hadn't foreseen in the future that he would go to school, get married, have a family, etc. So he was not lamenting, but he was expressing this to Srila Prabhupada, in essence saying it was therefore very difficult to maintain these vows, chanting 16 rounds, coming to devotional programs, etc. And after he explained all the different obligations he had, you know, he thought he made a good case to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at him very intently and said, "Then why did you promise?"
Pretty well.
We've all given our promise. We've given our word. We have to keep it somehow or other.
Thank you for instilling fear in our hearts. Jai Shri Prabhu.
As you were mentioning about trying, but recently in one of the big committees that I have service with, one of our God brothers who is recently taking on a very large portion of responsibility and service. And I was making a report to him, and in actual fact, the report I had to give wasn't as good as we would have liked it or expected it to be. And I made the comment, you know, as I was giving the report, I said, "But I think they're trying. They're trying their best." And he looked at me very intently, and he said, "But they must do their best." It kind of hit me. There's a difference. You know, a lot of times, "Well, I'm trying my best." No, but do your best. And I appreciated that comment. It's been helpful for me anyway.
Mm. And just avoid. Maharaj, thank you for coming. You're always an ocean of information. We get to read and we get to hear. We get to associate with devotees. We have tapes. But to actually have somebody that you can ask a question that you get from hearing Prabhupada's tapes and reading Prabhupada's books is a very rare thing. You know, we try and discuss amongst ourselves and get some information from each other, but to find somebody who's actually very learned and more advanced and well-situated is actually rare. And to, like you say, to have that opportunity and not take it is, it's actually very dangerous. But to have the opportunity to have that knowledge when Prabhupada was here, to have that person to go to is just such a rarity. So we need to be very serious, especially in that area, to take advantage of Krishna's mercy when it comes our way. And our failure is only it's our own loss. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being so steady in your service. It's actually a very rare person that's so steady and so caring about so many other living entities and taking up Prabhupada's mission so sincerely to help solidify Krishna consciousness for all of us that are trying.
Thank you.
Jai.
Thank you for your sense of humor and your and your encouragement. Kamagiri Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Would anyone else like to ask a question? Yes, please.
Prabhu, you talked about sharing Krishna's mercy with everybody. And, you know, that's, I think as a neophyte, we all try to share Krishna's mercy with everybody. We want to give them an idea of Krishna consciousness. So a lot of time in the material world, either maybe you're chanting and your roommate asks you or one of your friends asks you, if you're telling them you're going to the temple, or, you know, you're giving time and energy to Krishna consciousness, a lot of people ask, point blank, the question is, you know, what is Krishna, what is Hare Krishna, what are you doing? And at that time, you know, you want to tell them everything about prasadam, you want to tell them all the fun you're having, you want to tell them everything about the temple, you want to tell them how what it is. You want to tell them about Krishna, you want to tell them about everything about Gita and how happy you are in your life. Or maybe you see the devotees.
Please, tell all of us.
So you want to tell them, you want to kind of tell everybody, you want to share the mercy, but you only have 2 minutes maximum. You don't have 2 minutes. You know, you sometimes are asked in a group, hey, so Piyush, what's up? What is Hare Krishna? So what is Hare Krishna? And, you know, you wish that, you know, maybe Srila Prabhupada was there, or maybe you were there. What am I going to tell them? So let's say you were, and you probably was asked this question in early 60s, 70s when you were trying. So what do you say in 2 minutes to tell them what is Krishna consciousness?
You just reveal the enthusiasm of your heart, honestly. And because of your sincerity, your honest reply will certainly penetrate their hearts. But Krishna consciousness is what everyone is searching for. Everyone is looking for love. Everyone is looking for being loved. The eternal soul that is within our body is eternally looking for perfect love. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can awaken that perfect love within our heart and find the ultimate joy that everyone is searching for in this world. That is my answer. It only took 30 seconds. And then explain how it has transformed your life and how much meaning and fulfillment and happiness you are receiving since you're understanding the Gita and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna. Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to dedicate every moment of our life in every aspect of our life in harmony with the eternal truth within our own hearts in relation to God. That is fulfillment. That is real happiness. And then if with whatever other time you have, give them some prasad. Prasad is very powerful.
Hello.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Take nice prasad from the temple and distribute it to your friends. This will be very nice. Yes.
How does this karma affects a person in the Krishna consciousness and also a person who is not in the Krishna consciousness?
A person who is not Krishna conscious at every moment is receiving the reactions of past karmas. All of our happiness, all of our pleasures are results of previous pious karma. And all of our sufferings and frustrations are results or reactions of our past impious karmas. Yes?
And also this,
for a materialistic person, the whole life is simply actions and reactions of karma. And how we react to our karmic reactions will bring about a future karmic reaction. Yes? So it's very implicating and very complicating for a devotee of Krishna, for a pure devotee of Krishna who has surrendered life to sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapevyo mokshaye shami masuja. When we actually surrender to Krishna, then Krishna delivers us from all karma. then there is no more karma in our life. Now, for a devotee who isn't completely surrendered, but who is in the path of purification, then karmas are coming to us, but they're coming to us in a different way. For a materialistic person, karmas are simply coming according to the automatic process, the mechanical process of actions and reactions. But when you actually take a step toward Krishna, then Krishna creates an environment that's actually best for your own spiritual life. Tatena kampam susamuksha mano punjana evatma kritam vipagam. This is the way a devotee sees suffering. He sees it as an opportunity to come closer to God. The Bhagavad Brahma describes that person who, even in painful, suffering condition of life, folds his or her hands with a grateful heart and says, "Thank you, God. I deserve much, much worse. You're just giving me a fraction of the karma I deserve. I give my heart to you with gratitude." A person who can say that honestly from within the heart in a suffering condition, that person alone has the rightful claim to liberation or mukti. Yes? So for a devotee, when happiness or distress comes, he sees as an opportunity to come closer to God, to surrender to God. And therefore, even karmas that may come, he doesn't see it simply as karma. He sees it as, I deserve this. I deserve this suffering. I deserve worse. But by Krishna's mercy in this, he's giving me the spiritual world. He's giving me his name. He's giving me shelter of his lotus feet. A devotee sees that in every situation of life and therefore flourishes under difficult circumstances. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes. What time is Harinam Sankirtan?
Oh, Shyam said we're scheduled at 7:30.
What is it now?
8:00.
8:00. So should we stop now? Tell me when to stop. Yes,
Maharaj, what is the difference in sincerity and determination?
The difference?
Yeah, because Maharaj, if you read so many times, it says, yeah, he was sincere and he was determined. So, how do you understand?
They are both required. We shouldn't waste our intellectual capacity to understand the difference between sincerity and determination. We should use that intellectual capacity to understand the necessity of both sincerity and determination. But they are inseparable. Sincerity really means a very simple and honest desire to do the right thing. And in this case, to serve Krishna and please Krishna. A very honest, simple desire and a very, very honest endeavor to fulfill that desire, Krishna's desire. That is sincerity. But you cannot really be sincere without determination, because there will be so many obstacles and impediments that will be blocking our sincere desires. And our sincerity will be tested by how we have the determination to overcome obstacles. Obstacles in time. I have no time. Chant, chant, chant. Can't, can't, can't. I have no time. That's an obstacle. Obstacle in various unfavorable desires of the mind. We want to enjoy various forms of sinful activities or sense gratification. Those are obstacles. We must be determined to say no to those things. and laziness. Mental, spiritual laziness is a great obstacle. We just don't want to put time in doing seva, in worshiping the deity, in chanting the names, in hearing the Bhagavat. We must be determined to overcome. Our mind says no, but our determination says yes. This is what Krishna wants. This is necessary. So we must have determination. One time Prabhupada was asked, what if we don't have determination? And Prabhupada said, then you are an animal. Because that's the purpose of human life. The difference between an animal and a human is determination to do the right thing. Animals just follow the dictations of their mind and senses. A human being is willing to go against the dictations of the mind and senses to do what is right, to follow the path of Dharma. Under any circumstance, I will be faithful to the path of Dharma. That is determination. And that is the test of our sincerity also. Hari. Yes, Vrindavanathji.
What is the purpose or significance for Vaishnavas to wear sari or dhoti?
The purpose and significance?
Or significance. Please watch.
That can be answered on various levels. Prabhupada explained on one level, for the purpose of creating culture and awareness, it is like a uniform that indicates your life's purpose. Just like a policeman is a policeman, whatever he wears. But his uniform has a purpose. Because if you need a policeman and he looks like everyone else, you won't know where to go. But when you see his uniform, you say, I need you. Yes? In the Christian church, a priest has a certain dress. So the people understand, this is the priest. And he's walking down the street and someone needs some spiritual help, they run. So the devotee dress indicates to the world that we're devotees of God, we're devotees of Krishna. And when people see us, they say, Hare Krishna. And it's surprising how people also come up with spiritual needs because they identify that you're a person who's dedicated your life to God. So from the preaching point of view, it reminds people of Krishna and makes yourself accessible to people. It's also very nice because it puts a certain pressure on you. You're representing Krishna and the society of Krishna's devotees. So, you know, you may not do certain things you may want to do. Yes? There'll be pressure on yourself to be more well-behaved. Because you're representing God to the world by your dress. And you must give a good example. And another thing Prabhupada explained, it's for ladies, it's very chaste. It's very a modest type of dress like that. And for dhotis, it's very simple. It's a very simple dress, easy to clean. But there's a purpose above and beyond all these purposes. Should I tell?
Yes.
Even if none of these other things were relevant, there's one purpose that outweighs everything else. And that is, Prabhupada asked us to. And our life and soul is to please our Guru. If this pleases our Guru, and he sees that it has value to ourselves and values to the world, then let me just do it to please our Guru. Prabhupada personally brought dhotis and saris from India. Yes? He personally gave Malati a dhoti. I mean, a sari. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. He also taught you how to put it on, didn't he?
During the time on the second Delhi Pandal, and I was cooking for him, and the situation where I was cooking was kind of abominable, and there was this, like, about 2 inches of water, and I had to, like, be in this water. So after the first day where my sari was just soaking up all this water, I went out to Kanat Circus, and I bought a gagra, or a skirt, you know, one of these Rajasthani skirts. So I would cook in the skirt, and then I would quickly put my sari on when I'd bring the prasad into Srila Prabhupada, so he never saw that. But one day, he came out while I was cooking. He stopped and he looked at me and he goes, "What has happened to you? What is this?" And I was there in this, you know, water, and I couldn't even speak, but, you know, I didn't wear a skirt again like that, you know. That was it. Well, sorry.
Prabhupada wanted to establish Krishna conscious culture in almost every aspect of life, a culture that reminds us of Krishna, that helps us identify with Krishna. So if it pleased Srila Prabhupada, personally, it's the only reason. Because it pleases Prabhupada, I dress like this. If Prabhupada asked me to wear a tuxedo, I would go everywhere with tuxedo. But by Krishna's grace, he didn't ask me this.
Us when and he was seeing that we were starting to wear this clothing more and more often. And he was very pleased and he smiled and he said, "This is how they dress in the spiritual world."
Arriba.
So we used to practice.
Thank you. But at the same time, for life members in India who were working jobs and people who were students, he did not insist. He, whatever is practical. He was very practical in that way. He didn't tell George Harrison when he was a Beatles to wear a dhoti.
He initially told the Mukunda and the others to dress like proper British gentlemen. So there's this wonderful picture. It's in my office in New Vrindavan. It shows us at the airport. Prabhupada is there, and you'll see Mukunda Maharaj. He's at the time Adhikari, but he has, you know, a suit, proper suit on. Purusha Tom has a proper suit on, so many of the other devotees. But they didn't look like hippies, you know, they looked proper, and you made that point, look like proper gentlemen.
Prabhupada said spiritual life is not a matter of dress or hairstyle, it's a matter of heart. But still, Prabhupada did want to preserve this spiritual culture within our society, although many people, due to their occupations and so forth, are dressing in the common clothes of the land. Still, Prabhupada wanted, especially preachers, and when devotees come to temple also, he was very happy if they would perform this tapasya. Hari Hari. Yes, sir, please.
Thank you very much for all this enlightenment that you have given us.
Thank you.
One of the issues that keeps coming up is that since the time of Prabhupada, the world has changed for the worse. And yet we are not seeing a lot of people looking into how can we make the world better. We see people using force to put their viewpoints on others. How do you think, you know, conditions could be changed? And many of these things are happening in the name of different religions. Now, speaking to this group is somewhat different because everybody is devoted. They understand that. But how can this message be conveyed so that the world indeed becomes more peaceful?
On one level, by distributing transcendental knowledge, which is universal and beyond sectarianism, we can educate people, which is essential. That loving God is beyond sectarian, egoistic conceptions. Actual love of God comes through purification of the heart. And that is really what the problem is. Even in the name of religion, and this is a problem in every religion in the world, that people have a very external, superficial, egoistic conception of their religion. They believe because I'm better than others, because it says it in my book. But actually, every religious book says something like that. Yes? The Jews are the chosen, God's chosen people. And the Christians have the Savior who's the way, the truth, and the light, and there's no other way through except through Him. And the Muslims, Islam is the ultimate culmination of all religions. It's the seal of all religions. And any other religions before that become irrelevant after the Prophet Muhammad. And there are Hindus who say, if you're not born in a Brahmin family, just serve me and get born again. That's their conception of being born again. And there's other Hindus who believe that we are the Aryan race, we are the Hindus, we have the Vedas, everybody else is just little puddles, and we have the ocean. So everyone has their reasons to say we're the best. Yes? The Jains, and the Buddhists. Within every scripture we'll find somewhere the justification for our false ego. That I'm better than everyone else. My religion is better than everyone else. Yes? In Christianity, there's hundreds of denominations and everyone thinks that they're better than all others. And they all have scriptural quotes. Yes? So Prabhupada told that first class religion is that religion that awakens true love of God within a person's heart. That is real religion. Bhagavatam doesn't describe Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Bhagavatam comes right to the point. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshitya hoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasediti. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving service to the Supreme Lord. That loving service must be uninterrupted and unmotivated to completely satisfy the self. So wherever we find people striving for that, we understand they are truly on a spiritual path. Yes? And actually, there is no replacement for cleansing the heart and becoming humble. Without humility, there's no spirituality that has any substance. Where there's arrogance, where there's ego, that is material. That is mundane. That is the cause of all problems. The basic fundamental root of all suffering is ahankar, the false ego. So spirituality is to remove that false ego, to cleanse it, to become a humble servant. Lord Chaitanya taught, Trinadapi sumichena, taror iva sihishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That a truly spiritual person, and this is universal in every true religion, must be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Such a person could chant the name of the Lord constantly. So unless people get this point, then there'll be constant conflict based on superficial ego. Yes? Whether it's politics or religion or castes or nationalities or races or sexes or... there are so many reasons to think ourselves superior to another. Yes? But the nature of the soul, the pure soul, is to be free of ego, to be humble, to be respectful, and to love God. So we must inspire people to actually purify their hearts. Otherwise, if they don't purify their hearts, there's no question of real peace within their own hearts or within the world. Moktaram jagatapasam sarva lokameheshwaram suratam sarva bhutanam yatvamam shantim richchati. Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter. The peace formula. One who understands that that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, that means nothing is ours. That everything is meant for the service and satisfaction of God. And one who has faith that God is the true well-wisher of every living being, that person can attain peace. That person can spread real peace. Otherwise, through United Nations and through various peace organizations and movements, saying, "Peace, brother." So, remember that? Peace, brother. Peace, sister. But, you know, how deep is that peace? How deep is it? It's superficial. We must find the peace within our own heart, which means purifying the heart. And then we're actually a part of the solution rather than the part of the problem of this world. And the simplest, most powerful means of purifying the heart is described in Purana. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatirangit. This age of Kali is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There's only one way in which we can rise above this dilemma and attain perfection, and that is chanting the names of Lord Hari. Kalera dosa nide rajan asti heka mahanguna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param braje. When we say the names of Hari, nam namakari bahuta nija saravashaktis. The Lord has many names. We are not sectarian. We accept all the genuine names of God. They are empowered with the opulences, the sweetness, and the mercy of God. We want to spread the glories of the holy name to purify the heart. The 12th canto of Bhagavat Purana declares, Kalerato sunide rajan asti hekamanguna, that this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there is one benediction. Simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can achieve the perfection of liberation. So we are living in Kali Yuga. There's no surprise in Kali Yuga that there's quarrel and hypocrisy everywhere. It is the nature of the age. During monsoons, it's not a surprise when it rains. Yes? It is the nature of the age. But the name of God is the very, very specifically empowered cure for the ills of this age. Why? Because the chanting of God's name cleans the heart of lust and envy and anger and greed and pride and illusion, and allows the true godly loving nature of the soul to shine through us to give light to the world. And a person who actually tastes the sweetness of that light within their own heart, that love, does not discriminate. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani kavihastini suni jaiva sopakicha pandita samadarshana. Gita tells, what is the nature of a person who has accessed that inner love and peace within their own souls, sees every living being with equal vision, whether one is a brahman or a chandala, whether one is a human being or a cow or an elephant or a dog. He sees a spirit soul. He sees a brother and a sister in everyone's heart. He sees a part of God in everywhere, wherever there's life. And therefore, he's a loving servant of all living beings. That's humility. That is the nature of a pure heart. And that is what is most urgently, essentially, desperately needed in this world. Thank you for your wonderful question. And that is why Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu is now going to take us into the streets to chant. You had a question? She's begging me to stop speaking. She's begging me to stop speaking. Yes, we will now go on Harinam Sankirtan. Thank you very much. With this conviction and this inspiration, we are not going as performers. We are going as humble servants of every person that comes by sharing with them the great treasure of Prabhupada and Krishna's compassion.